Sasha. We will take questions only at the end of all the presentations. It's going to be easier, and the question period will be managed by my colleague, Douglas Headley. It's always neat when you're at university level to hear people talking about the need for more R&D and more research. That's something that we talk a lot about ourselves, but sometimes we have the feeling that we're preaching in the desert, so that's good to hear it from other sources too. Our next speaker, Chair Morden, is the Director of the North American Liaison Offices of the International Fund for Agricultural Development, IFAD. In that capacity of Director of IFAD, she works to build, I don't know if it's IFAD or IFAD, sorry. IFAD, okay. It's iPod. Okay, thank you. To build partnership and influence policy on behalf of IFAD's effort to enable the rural poor to overcome poverty. Prior to joining IFAD, sorry, she served as Director of Policy and Communications for the International Center for Research on Women. Until 1998, she was the Associate Director for Development Policy for Church World Services and Lutheran World Relief. She had managed policy advocacy initiatives and education and mobilization campaigns involving coalitions of non-governmental and international organizations on a variety of international development issues, including foreign aid reform, hunger, and food security, and gender and development too. She holds a master's degree in international development education from the University of Pittsburgh, and as you can see from her bio, she has a lot of experience in that field, so let's welcome Mrs. Cheryl Morden.
Well, thank you, Dean LaForest, and thanks to the organizers for the invitation. Canada is a very highly valued member of IFAD. We count on its active engagement and support for our mission over time, and most recently also for its increased financial contribution, an increase of 138% in the most recent replenishment of our resources. And as Minister Oda reported on Tuesday evening, Canada is now the fifth largest contributor to IFAD. So I wanted to take the time I have today to talk about the target group with whom IFAD works, the small-scale agriculturalists and rural entrepreneurs, and how we can better help them to take their rightful place in these renewed efforts to achieve global food security. How I'd like to use my time is first to do a little snapshot of IFAD so that you have a better idea of what is the perspective that we bring, a little bit more about these small-scale agriculturalists and rural entrepreneurs and the risks and opportunities that they face in a transforming rural environment, and then to share some of the strategic directions that we're undertaking to support and defend small-scale producers. IFAD has a unique organizational profile in that it's both a UN specialized agency and an international financial institution, and thus we enjoy the legitimacy that goes with being an intergovernmental organization combined with the resources and the performance standards that are the international financial institutions are subject to. We also have a very sharply focused mission that is enabling poor rural people to overcome poverty. And to achieve this mission, we have adopted this overarching goal, which is recently undergoing some changes to reflect some of the new challenges. So our goal is to enable rural poor people to improve their lives by building viable and sustainable rural market and rural farm and non-farm enterprises that are integrated into national and global markets and value chains and that provide higher incomes and greater employment opportunities. When it was founded in the mid-70s, IFAD was intended to be a catalytic force, mainly to mobilize resources. And over time, it's expanded its brief to become more operational, while it continues to mobilize resources to assist mostly small to hard to reach rural poor communities, we've also long since expanded into working with developing countries to design, implement, monitor, and measure the projects and programs. So we, from our beginning, we've invested about $11 billion in grants and loans, and with that have reached about 300 million people. We're currently operating in about 87 countries. Half of our loans at present go to sub-Saharan Africa. They range in size from small $200,000 grants to $70 million loans. And we target poor rural people who have the productive capacity to take advantage of the economic opportunities that we can help to provide. And more specifically, here are some of the kinds of outputs that are generated through our the activities that we support. Broadly speaking, the activities focus on expanding opportunities, extending access to resources, services, information, and markets, and building individual and community capacities. So we have formed or strengthened irrigation groups, help gain access to technical advisory services, promote rural financial services, and so on. Our president, Kanayo Nwanza, when he took office in April 2009, promised to work to ensure that the voices of poor rural men and women would be heard more clearly, and he pledged to be their tireless advocate in wherever he had an opportunity to do so. And so he spent the last year and a half traveling all over the world doing just what he said, to bring the perspectives and the needs and concerns of these mostly overlooked and forgotten producers into these debates. And in the course of these meetings, we've sometimes heard it said that IFAD is one of the UN's best-kept secrets. Well, I was happy to realize starting Tuesday evening that that's not the case in Canada, with Minister Oda's description of Canada's support for IFAD. But I think now beyond Canada, the secret is out. And the reason for that is that the world has at long last recognized that small-scale agriculturalists and rural entrepreneurs are key to reducing poverty and achieving global food security. And this has been mentioned repeatedly in the last day and a half, the critical importance of small-scale producers. We might note that it took urban food riots and civil unrest in some 35 countries in 2007 and 2008 at last to draw the world's attention to this vast swath of humanity. And they merit our attention and investment for many reasons. First, though they grow 80% of the food in developing countries, they constitute half of the undernourished people in the world. So their right to food, as we heard yesterday, compels our action. But they also constitute a vast underutilized pool of labor, knowledge, experience, human and physical resources, and thus represent a huge untapped potential for meeting the increasing global demand for food, fuel, and fiber. On the downside, our failure to invest in the livelihood opportunities of these small-scale producers risks increasing migration, greater poverty, and more environmental degradation. So it's this group that IFAD was created more than 30 years ago to assist. And what we have discovered, especially in recent years, is that through their organizations, they are seeking their rightful place within this renewed effort to achieve food security. This message came through very clearly at this year's meeting of the Global Farmers Forum, in which, as you see here, this was one of the outcomes of their deliberations. They seek to claim their duty and their right to be part of the design, implementation, evaluation of rural development policies and programs. IFAD established this biennial Farmers Forum precisely to help them make their voices heard within global policy deliberations and to improve the programs and projects that we support. We've heard repeated references in this conference to the rapid and far-reaching trends and changes that are affecting rural areas. These changes are being played out against a legacy in these rural areas of neglect, inequality, and marginalization. And this means that rural areas are often the most difficult environments in which to undertake development activities. And for the small-scale producers, it creates a complex backdrop of risk and uncertainty on the one hand and emerging opportunities on the other. Many of these risks have been cited in other presentations, so I won't spend time on this, only to highlight the risk associated with the development of value chains that are tending to favor large-scale producers and threatening to further marginalize small-scale producers. Similarly, the opportunities are ones that have been cited in the last few days, and the opportunities are there and can be accessed if we can provide the conditions for small-scale farmers to reach them. So what I'd like to do is share some of the new perspectives and directions that are taking shape within this new context in our thinking and our approach to our mission and goal. First is that we're beginning to realize that we need to match our aspirations to those of rural poor people. Our president has asked whether our efforts are geared toward truly assisting small-scale producers to sustainably exit poverty, or whether they've aimed more at improving their well-being but without allowing them to generate the surplus and profits that would raise them above subsistence level. He's asking whether we're solving poverty or managing poverty. Secondly, transformation is really another word that I've been struck how often it's been mentioned in presentations here at this conference. And it's the second character of our new thinking, which is that we need to really invest in rural transformation. Until recently, much of our efforts focused on increasing production and productivity. But when we focus only on a few aspects of the value chain, our efforts have failed to generate sufficient economic growth, and in some cases have resulted in failure. So to assist the small-scale farmers to sustainably exit poverty, we realize increasingly that we have to recognize that no matter how small, farms are businesses. So we're focusing more of our efforts on helping small farmers access markets and integrate into value chains. And this is a very steep challenge. Markets in many rural areas are thin and non-competitive. And constructing value chains that benefit small-scale producers require a number of key factors: careful selection of commodities, selecting models and governance options in which the poor producers will benefit most, and importantly, selecting the right partners, especially those that are most motivated to seek benefits for the poor producers. So as we widen our perspective to look at the whole of the value chain, we're also investing more attention and resources looking at the non-farm rural economy, which is so intimately linked to agricultural development. And finally, we're focusing attention on strengthening the capacity of rural people to take advantage of the non-farm economic opportunities, with particular attention to education, technical vocational skills, and basic health resources. Oops. Third, we need to do more to reduce risk and fortify resilience. Agriculture is a naturally risky enterprise, and avoiding risk is both a survival strategy for poor rural households and a prerequisite for moving out of poverty. In many cases where there's little or no margin for error, however, their need to minimize the impact of poverty or avoid risks actually undermines their ability to seize these new opportunities. Participation in markets brings its own set of risks, and climate change and extreme weather is a multiplier of risks for smallholder producers. So what we realize is that risk assessment and risk management need to be at the center of our investment in rural transformation, and we're doing this in a number of ways. We're identifying and deploying the agricultural practices and technologies that make agriculture climate resistant, and we've heard numerous examples of those in the last day or so. We're also supporting the development and testing of new technologies such as durable plastic tubing material for irrigation that absorbs contaminants and means that farmers can use salt water, in some cases wastewater, for irrigation, and tools such as microcrop insurance. We're also working with the leadership of the World Food Program, with the World Bank and FAO, to address the risks that are posed by potential risk of displacement or disenfranchisement from large-scale land acquisitions, and developing and promoting principles and guidelines for agricultural investment. Also looking at alternative models that don't require large-scale land acquisitions and involve collaboration between large-scale operations and small-scale producers. We're working to be more precise and targeted, differentiating our approach. We've worked, most of our focus has been on low-income countries, and increasingly we're looking at how we need to modify our operations to be more effective in fragile states and in middle-income countries, and in particular middle-income countries, putting more and more focus on helping to support South-South exchange and cooperation. With respect to targeting, what we see is that overall economic growth is necessary but not sufficient to ensure poverty reduction, and that we need focused efforts to create opportunities for those who have less. And without that, social and economic inequalities will persist. And this includes efforts to modify unequal power relations, which in many cases actually generate and sustain poverty. So we have a strategy and policy that guides our efforts to design actions and measures to increase the livelihood that specific groups will benefit from the development initiatives that we support, while also reducing the risk that those who are better off will benefit disproportionately from these activities. And in this, we emphasize self-targeting through the choice of the most fitting investments and activities. We also place tremendous emphasis on empowerment of women and second everything that Minister Oda said Tuesday night about their key role in food security. And finally, we're working, much of our focus is on indigenous peoples who make up a third of the extremely poor people in the world and who often have been pushed to the least fertile and most marginal lands and need assistance to make better living in those settings. And lastly, our what's coming into a very sharp focus is more of a focus on youth, and this comes in part out of the Farmers Forum that we held in February, where the farmers from all over the world came to Rome and issued a real plea to us to help with the youth who otherwise have very few opportunities and futures in the rural areas. Okay, then the critical importance from IFAD's perspective includes unlocking the potential opportunities that exist through organization and realizing that the opportunities through value chain really cannot be realized by small-scale producers unless they are organized. So we're deepening our engagement with producer organizations on several fronts. Perhaps most important, we're working to increase their participation in the development and implementation of the projects and programs that we finance. And the producer organizations have reported to us that this involvement in the projects has helped to strengthen their organizations and improve their dialogue with their governments. It's also helped them to expand their memberships. So we're doing that through the projects. We're also directly providing support for strengthening producer organizations and recognizing in this that the long-term sustainability of these organizations is linked directly to the quality of services that they're able to provide to their members. And we're bringing to it all a strong gender focus to ensure that women have equitable participation and leadership within these organizations. So with the challenges that we've been discussing the last day and a half, and especially the prospect that to reach our goals we need to do more with less, we realize that we really need to raise our game. And we're doing this looking at specific challenges that arise from institutional deficits in a sector that's been neglected for several decades. So we've embraced the imperative of accountability. We're becoming progressively a results-based organization. We've adopted a results measurement framework that assesses performance from impact of poverty reduction down to measures of institutional efficiency. We're extending this focus on results most recently by looking more closely at what it really takes to scale up and to understand in terms of our own operational processes and mechanisms how we need to modify those to take successful practices and innovations to scale. And we've worked most recently with the Brookings Institution, who did an institutional review and has come back with a whole set of recommendations about the kind of revisions that we need to make in our operations, including, for example, the fact that you can't think about scaling up at the end of the project, that it needs to be in the mix and the thinking from the very start. And we'll be taking that forward with their collaboration to to look at what we need to do to modify our own practices. And finally, the question of sustainability, which in some ways is really the biggest and most difficult challenge of all, to be sure that the benefits that arise from these projects and programs persist beyond the end of the program. And the reason it's the biggest challenge is it really sort of sums up all the other best practices, country ownership, the capacity that's required to ensure that there is country ownership, making sure that there's been engagement with the affected communities to set the objectives and the design, and that we've continually incorporated risk assessment and risk management. And this is an area where the challenge continues for us. We've improved, but we have a ways to go. And one of the places where we'll really be focusing sharp attention over the next few years. So as EFED makes its contribution to renewed global efforts to achieve food and nutrition security, we believe that we have the critical benefit of momentum, goodwill, and good faith among all the actors going for us. And I think that this year's World Food Day theme, United Against Hunger, is both descriptive and prescriptive of the efforts that we'll need to succeed going forward. Thank you.